Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad. That's Matt. From our Skyview studios in Uptown Scottsdale. Great to be with you, and busy, busy show ahead on this Monday. Clark Judge will join us in about 15 minutes. Clark Judge, Talk of Fame Network, all things around the NFL. I saw where Clark was all over Peyton Manning. It's time to go. We'll talk to Clark about that. Rex Ryan, the new coach of the Buffalo Bills, and much, much more. All things NFL, Clark Judge. News and notes, my friend, AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. I'm sure Paula will have some thoughts about Tiger confirming the Suns, U of A basketball losing, things going on around the Valley with Paula Bovin from the weekend. Todd Graham will be with us, ASU head football coach, previewing tonight's national title game. Fired up for tonight. 6:30 tonight, Oregon, Ohio State. Todd Graham will be with us. I also want to talk to Todd Graham about the NFL. What is he hearing about Jalen Strong as a first-round pick? Taylor Kelly's draft status. I want to talk to Coach Graham about that. And I don't think he can talk. I know he can't talk recruiting until letter of intent day, but the players that have enrolled for the new semester, I don't know if they've been cleared or not yet, but I at least have to ask him about it. So Todd Graham, all things ASU and tonight's national title game with Ohio State and Oregon. And then Brock Huard, ESPN college football analyst, will join us in hour number two. Of course, Brock will have his way in on Ohio State and Oregon, but he's also hosts his own show in Seattle. So he'll be all over the Seahawks and Carolina. So there's a bunch of things I can tie in with Brock. Eric Sorensen is our senior executive vice president of everything. Did you have a good weekend?
It wasn't bad. How about yours?
I went up to the White Mountains.
Saw that.
Went up to the Honda Resort and Casino, went over to my buddy's place, did some sledding, got away from it, watched football start to finish. It was cold. It was damp. It was awesome.
It's good.
Played some Yahtzee with my 10-year-old, you know, those types of things.
The Sorensons finally got around to taking down their Christmas decorations.
Attaboy, come on over to my place.
We're going to see if we could leave them up all year, but that's usually a fruitless endeavor.
I still have lights up that I'm getting yelled at, so I've got to follow through on that. So, boy, the weekend was, for the second weekend in a row, I'm hearing way too much about officials and the game itself. So let's get you caught up. Some things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. The Honda Resort and Casino, that is the place to get away and decompress when you're in the White Mountains like I was. Man, I was burnt. I'd been going hard since the bowl season and all that stuff. I just needed to get away. You pull down on that slot machine, you eat some great food, you have some fun. And you do it all at the Honda Resort and Casino? Why not? What a great time. That's the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. The Honda Resort and Casino. Okay, tonight the national title game takes place with Oregon and Ohio State. And I'll get to all the NFL stuff in a minute. Tonight, I look at the two teams, and boy, Oregon losing to their wide receivers. And we'll talk with Coach Graham, and we'll talk with Brock Huard about this. The speed of Ohio State, but man, when Oregon gets it going, and their tempo is going, and they're running plays every 12, 13 seconds, you just wonder about if Ohio State's going to get gassed. I think what Jimmy Vaccaro said Friday, Eric, the total was 77?
Yep, and he thought it might go up even more before kickoff tonight.
77! So, you know, in Ohio State, they've got freshmen that you like to watch. This kid Bosa's really good. The Buckeyes, I think, were off people's radar screen early in the season after they lost to Virginia Tech. Here is Urban Meyer on getting ready to face Marcus Mariota, the Heisman Trophy winner, tonight, 6:30 Arizona time. Urban Meyer, the coach of the Buckeyes.
Our biggest concern is that guy receiving a snap every play. I think he's one of the finest that's ever played the game. And that's our issue.
Okay, so Devin Allen, Brophy Prep, gone, not playing tonight for Oregon. Darren Carrington picked up the slack at 165 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns in the Rose Bowl. Gone, failed a drug test. So you've got freshman Charles Nelson and veteran Keenan Lowe, who was hurt late in the year. Ohio State led the Big Ten with 24 picks. Ohio State had 24 picks. Here is Marcus Mariota on facing Ohio State tonight.
For them to be able to accomplish what they have says a lot about who they are as a team. You know, I don't think anybody can really understand, you know, losing someone, having a death of a teammate. So I think, you know, that's hard to relate to. But what they've been able to do as a team to come together and to be a part of this championship game says a lot about who they are.
Okay, so on the offensive end for Ohio State, they rank third in the Big Ten. They average 262 rushing yards a game. I can stat you to death on this. Let me throw one more stat at you about tonight, and just remember this late in the game. Oregon has yet to attempt and make a field goal longer than 42 yards. Again, Oregon has yet to make or attempt a field goal longer than 42 yards. What does that mean? That's not a long field goal. Most games, Oregon says it's fourth and four. We're going for it. Screw it. If it comes down to the final moments of tonight's game, 42 yards, longest that they've made, haven't done anything beyond that, that's not that big of a deal in some people's minds. To me, it's a big deal. Can the special teams be special for Oregon tonight, or will it not matter? Will they just blow everybody away? The Buckeyes' special teams are really good. And then you have the coaching side. You know, Mark Helfrich, Urban Meyer. I remember talking with Brock back at the start of the season, and he thought Helfrich would be under some fire at Oregon from the way that last season ended. Well, here they are in the national title game. He's 24-3 in two seasons at Oregon. Bringing this a little bit closer to home, if you're Arizona State, are you rooting tonight for Oregon because it's Pac-12, or are you rooting tonight for Ohio State because ASU typically, and U of A, both ASU, U of A, typically recruit against Oregon? Eric, where are you at on that one?
You got to go for the Pac-12. It makes the whole it brings up the whole conference when you can say, yeah, we were the conference that finally broke the SEC's long national championship streak.
See, I disagree. I think if you're sitting there as an ASU fan tonight with letter of intent day 3 weeks away, I get it. Oregon's already been there. I understand. I thought, Charles Davis brought up a terrific point about look at the balance of power in the alpha males at coaching.
Yep, there's actually a story up on the site right now at Sports360AZ. Check it out.
Yeah, that you did on look at. If you're a kid that's looking at going to the Big Ten, Big Ten was viewed as kind of a laugh conference, right, with Michigan being so brutal. But now you look at what's going on, D'Antonio over at Michigan State, Harbaugh is at Michigan, Meyer is at Ohio State. I mean, you talk about going right down the line of tough coaches. And so from that standpoint, to me, if it's me and I'm recruiting a kid, if I'm Todd Graham, I'm flying, or I'm Rich Rod, and I'm flying in a kid's living room, and it's between me and Oregon, you could say, well, they already made it to the title game, or I want Ohio State to kick their tails all over the floor.
No offense to ASU or U of A or pretty much any other school with the exception of USC in the Pac-12, but yeah. If it comes down to Oregon versus fill in the blank, Oregon's probably going to get their guy anyway. That's pretty much been proven.
That's not very nice.
It's true.
It's not very nice. You think?
Yeah.
By the way, did you see Urban Meyer does not have a bonus in his contract tonight? Did you hear about that? So he does not have a bonus, but Gene Smith, the AD, does.
Of course.
So the AD built in a bonus of $36,172.
Gene is shrewd. He always has been, especially financially. He's making a ton of money at Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, what's 36 grand?
That's all he should.
Was it? Hey, look, line item. When we get to this college football playoff, over my watch, if we win, that's worth $36,000. I think it's probably worth a lot more than that. I thought that was kind of interesting. I get it. Urban Meyer has money coming out of his backside.
Quick note, Brad, before we get a jump onto something else, you'll get a good kick out of this. So today I was watching, you know, the Today Show, as I like to do in the morning when I'm getting ready for work, and they had the news reporter out there in Arlington doing a story on the national championship game. And he actually, or a producer, whoever, you know, wrote the story, called Ohio State a Cinderella season. Just stop.
It is.
No, it's not.
What are you talking about?
Look at their team. Four-star recruit, five-star recruit, five-star recruit, great head coach. Just stop.
At quarterback it is.
Kent State making the national championship game is a Cinderella season.
Quarterback it is, right?
Whatever.
No, seriously, I guess. A third-string quarterback, right?
A four-star third-string quarterback.
I get it, four-star.
Correct.
He still has to go out there and produce.
They're Ohio State.
They get a ton of talent.
Let's not give you a hard time.
Pissy because TCU's not in.
Of course
in it.
I am.
Fine.
And especially since they're playing in the Metroplex.
Yeah.
As well I should.
You weren't this nasty a couple weeks ago when they were left out. You were just kind of like, well, it's
the way
it goes.
I was okay with it now, just the build-up and the hype and having to see like the endless 9 hours consecutive on ESPN building up to this game. I'm a little ticked.
And you're thinking TCU could have taken either one of these two teams.
Correct.
See, I think the push for eight, and we'll get into this tomorrow, the push for eight is going to come a lot faster than people. I've heard this, well, we can't get out of the deal till 2020. I don't know. I call BS on that.
Brad,
when there's $1 billion at stake, you can get out of any deal.
We can't do that. They're student athletes. We can't have them playing these extra games. Sure. They're student athletes.
Sure. It's kind of like U of A playing basketball on a Sunday night last night.
What a joke.
Where they stuck around beautiful Corvallis, Oregon for 3 days to play in 8 p.m. Arizona time on Fox Sports 1. They got over probably at 10:30. And I'm sure that they're at their biology class this morning at 7:45, bright-eyed and ready to go in Tucson. Joke. It's not student athlete. I feel much better now. Clark Judge is on the other side. So he was throwing dirt all over Peyton Manning yesterday. I threw a tweet out there about where's Chris Christie's reaction on this Dallas thing. And I think Clark liked that one. And I don't do stuff. I throw stuff out on Twitter. Like I lost 9 followers yesterday. It's fine. I have fun with this stuff. This is not brain surgery. It's sports, for crying out loud. Talk with Clark about all things NFL. Is it time for Brock Osweiler? If you're the Denver Broncos, you're going to let Peyton dictate terms? John Elway just walk in there and say, dude, it's not happening anymore. There's some spin coming out of Denver today, too. The Dez Bryant play, again, when you hear the name Dean Blandino over and over and over, you shouldn't know who Dean Blandino is. You just shouldn't. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360AZ.
Blitz is coming. He throws a deep ball to the left side, and the ball is Bryant caught the ball and is dragged down at the one. I do not know how Dez Bryant accomplished that physical feat. Oh my goodness!
After review, it has been determined that the receiver did not maintain possession of the football during the
process of the pass. It's great, Brad Sham. It was a sham, wasn't it, Clark? Clark Judge, Talk of Fame Network, with us for a couple of minutes. Talk of Fame, the host of it, he will be out here with his crew from the Skyview Studios. You're going to be down at Radio Row, I'm sure. Was it a sham yesterday? What'd you make, Clark?
Well, it depends on what you call a sham. Was it a bad call? No, they made the right call. Is it a bad rule? Yeah, the rule's a sham. Rule's a disgrace. You and I know. It's like, remember I say that when Justice Potter talked about pornography, you know it when you see it. It's like a catch, you know it when you see it. And that was a catch to me. He went 2 or 3 steps with the ball and then put it, you know, I guess on the ground. I mean, it wobbled. And he, technically, when you slow it down frame by frame, But, Brad, you and I can look at catches, and so can any one of your listeners and say, I know it when I see it. That was a catch. And if it's not, then the rule needs to change. And that Calvin Johnson catch that was the precedent, I remember seeing that live. That was a catch, too. But when you start parsing it like this, this is what people have a problem with the NFL. The games are over-officiated. This one was over-officiated. Should have been allowed to stand, but that rule prevents it. They interpreted the rule right. Get rid of the rule.
Okay, so you've covered the NFL for 30-plus years.
Yeah.
And you make the strong statement about how the league is over-officiated. I was with a group of people yesterday that I wouldn't call the most knowledgeable football fans. They were just there to have a good time. And when they saw that play and they all looked at each other and said, well, what are you guys talking about? What is this rule? Okay. You're confusing. It's pretty easy for the hardcore football guy that's seen it year in and year out.
Right.
But I'm wondering from your end, 30 years ago, this isn't get off my lawn time with Clark and Brad, but this is an old guy football time. The league has come way, way to one side where every single play feels like we have to have it reviewed rather than the human element, and they can't go back, can they?
No, they can't. And that's what they can't go back to where they were. But I think, Brad, there is some sentiment within the league. Not only think, I know, because we've talked to Dan Rooney, And Dan Rooney said, I think we need to revisit some of these rules changes or these rule tweaks. I think specifically the illegal checking, illegal contact, the holding, defensive pass interference. I mean, pass interference is so randomly called. I don't know what it is anymore. I don't think they do either. It goes from crew to crew, and that's the problem. It's the inconsistency of the officiating. I could tolerate it if I knew what it was, and it's officiated uniformly, but it's not. And I think they may go back and try to roll some of these calls back, but no, you're not going to go back to what you were, except I will tell you this. I sat down with somebody at the league office not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, and I made that same point. He said, you're wrong. And I said, what do you mean I'm wrong? He goes, 30 or 35 years ago, we had as many calls. And he sent me some documentation. I looked at him and went, the number of calls wasn't that much different. But the difference is, as you said, we're subjecting everything now to review. So even when somebody scores a touchdown, well, it's a touchdown. Wait a second. Let's just look at it at review. And even then, Brad, they don't get right. Remember when Percy Harvin ran that touchdown in against San Diego early in the season? Stepped out of bounds. They looked at it and they went, oh, he's okay. No, he stepped out of bounds. And the next day they said, oh, we missed that. But everything is subject to review, turnovers, you know. And I do think all these stoppages, they just disrupt the flow of the ball game. And I think for those people that you were talking to or sitting with, yeah, they're right.
Because the NFL will point out, oh, the ratings were the greatest ever.
Right.
It doesn't mean that it's as good as it could be. And it'll take a step further. Everything is geared towards the offensive player having success in this league.
That's right.
We would agree on that, right?
Yes.
So when you have a rule that's in place that actually hinders an offensive player, I think it catches people off guard because we don't see those very often. I mean, there's holding, but there's also holding on the defensive side of the football. This play itself, you see him come down and land with his 2 feet. If anything, I'm thinking, well, they're going to spot him at the one. Just because he tried to dive forward, should a player be penalized for trying to make an extra special effort as Dez Bryant did?
Yeah, and I think we're parsing so much of the language now, Brad. That's part of the problem. I mean, I listened to Mike Pereira 2 or 3 times, and I've known Mike for years, explain it. I still don't understand it. You know, completing the process. I mean, what does that mean? He took 2 or 3 steps, and he fell down, okay? I mean, you know, football moves. I just don't understand what they're talking about. To me, it's pretty easy to determine what's a catch. You catch the ball, you cradle, you have possession. And that one, I thought he had possession. I thought he went two and a half steps and went to the ground. And in the process of going for the end zone, the ball came loose. But, you know, it wasn't like it rolled out of bounds. Yeah, it was jarred loose. And did it hit the turf? Yeah, it did. But I thought he had possession. I thought he had control of it. And I hear them say, well, no, it's not possession, it's control. I don't know the difference. And I don't think the average fan does, and nor do I think they care. I think they just go, listen, I look at that. That's a catch. It should be. I don't care whether Dallas won the game or not. I don't care. But I look at it and say, I thought it was a catch.
Clark Judge, longtime NFL insider, Talk of Fame host, Talk of Fame Network. Plenty of great content. You can check them out. Where do you come down on the Shane Vereen deal, and did Bill Belichick outcoach John Harbaugh?
Yeah, I think he outcoached him. And where I come down on it is, you know, playing a little bit fast with the rules, but he was within the rules. And he caught him because it's been done and has been pointed out before. It was done at the college level with Nick Saban, who, by the way, is a friend of Bill Belichick's. But a little bit sneaky, but it's within the rules. Does it need to be revisited in the offseason? Probably. Do they need to make an announcement? They need to let somebody know other than the official saying, okay, that's okay, he's ineligible. I mean, if I were John Harbaugh, yeah, I'd be upset. But was it outside the rules? No, and it sounded to me like a sore loser when I heard John say that.
TalkOfFameNetwork.com with Clark Judge. You want to get his content. Great stuff there on a weekly basis. Flip it over then from we always want to advance the story. As you're sitting here today, what is your quick feel about the AFC and NFC title games?
AFC, sorry it's not Manning, Brady, but honestly, I know I've been on your show before, and I've just said there's something wrong with it. Peyton Manning. Now they're talking about a quad injury. I don't know. He just, it's not like this is a guy, people tell me, oh, he's getting older. This isn't a guy who got old. Last month and a half, he fell off the cliff. I mean, something happened yesterday. It was sad to see. Even people were booing him. I thought that was disgraceful. Had a bad game, not himself. I think he needs to sit down the offseason and think about where he's going next. He still has some records he needs to, or would love to get, but I don't know if it's worth it. You don't want to be Johnny Unitas leaving in San Diego. That said, I like the idea of Brady against Luck. Luck's going to be the next great quarterback if it isn't already. Brady is the great quarterback. Do I like New England home? I love New England home, especially against that team. Seattle, Green Bay, great game, except Aaron Rodgers is playing on one leg. And I know you can say, or your listeners will say, well, he played on one leg yesterday. Dallas defense got a lot of holes. Seattle really doesn't. I love Seattle in this game.
Okay, let me go back on Manning, because we're like-minded there. I think it's New England and Seattle that are playing here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, right.
So throwing dirt on Peyton Manning is not something that's easy to do. And as I was watching him, I'm thinking, okay, I've covered guys as great as Tony Gwynn at the end of their career, as Charles Barkley at the end of his career. You've done it as well.
Right.
For him to walk in today and say, I'm done, only leads to around mid-March him thinking, well, I'm not done. He completely needs to get away from the game. Injured or not, he needs to go clear his head. It's similar to what Warner went through, I think.
Yes.
Because he was brutal yesterday. But that said, with their cap situation and the numbers that are up there, and what they've done, to think that they can make a run for a title with Peyton Manning is absurd. So you're better off turning the page, handing the ball off to Brock Osweiler, who was down here, who's learned under Peyton Manning, and just figure it out. I know it's not that simple. And I won't say it was completely Peyton Manning's fault yesterday either. His receivers were horrendous early in that game, dropping balls that shouldn't have been dropped. So that's where I see it going. Where do you see it going with him?
To me, it's all about Peyton Manning, whether he wants to play or he doesn't want to play. It's his call, completely his call. If he wants to play, he's coming back. They're not going to tell him no. I don't care what the cap number is. He gives them their best chance. Listen, you know, with all due respect to Brock Osweiler, I've seen him play. You're not going to win with Brock Osweiler.
Can't play, huh? You don't think he can play?
You can win with Peyton Manning, but to a certain degree. To me, they've gone as far as they can with Peyton Manning. It's going to be diminishing returns from here on in. He's not getting younger. He's getting older. The games won't be as good. They'll be worse. But that said, you still have at least a chance. But I understand what you're saying. There comes a point, and we're seeing it here in New York with the Yankees, we have to say, hey, we just got to cut the cord and start all over. And I saw it in San Francisco with Steve Young and Jerry Rice. Very tough to let go of those guys. But I will tell you this, that Bill Walsh, he always used to say, and you've heard it before, rather get rid of a guy a year too soon than a year too late. With Peyton Manning, it's a different story. They don't have anyone on the scene there. They just don't, Brad. And so you can say Brock Osweiler, as I said, you're not going to win with him. When I'm talking about winning, I'm going to the top of the division, winning some playoff games. This guy can get to the top of the division. Now, to me, it's debatable whether that's going to happen in the future. I don't expect that the Peyton Manning we saw the last 6 weeks is going to be Peyton Manning all next year, but you're not going to get the great Peyton Manning games consistently anymore, and you may get a lot more of these, and I do think it's time for them to start looking for a successor and beyond, honestly, Brock Osweiler.
Okay, so you don't think Osweiler can play? I'll buy
I don't. I'm not saying can play. I mean, yeah, he can play. He certainly can play.
But he's...
I'm talking about somebody who can step in. You know, when you had the Kurt Warner situation, who is going to step in there and be the next Kurt Warner? Well, it's very difficult to be the next Kurt Warner. Okay, who can win some games for you? And honestly, you had to find Carson Palmer before you had a solution there. And I think they're in the same situation here. Drew Stanton, you're fine with in Arizona. Is Brock Osweiler Drew Stanton? I don't think he's that good, honestly. Yeah. I just don't. And I'd love for him to prove me wrong.
Yeah. But if you're John Elway, you're a Hall of Famer. Now it's on you.
Yeah.
You know, can John Elway pick up the phone and say, let's go meet on the behind the bar at 2 o'clock in the morning, no one's there, and I put my hand on your shoulder and say, Peyton, you can't play.
Yeah,
you're done. I mean, where does John Elway fit? Does John Elway have a say in the circle of Peyton Manning?
Absolutely. But I think he's in his corner. That's my guess right now. I think he's very sympathetic to him. But you bring up a good point. Again, I'm going back to Steve Young. Bill Walsh in 1999 and has something to do with Arizona because that's where he played his last game, suffered a concussion.
Yep.
So we know.
Aeneas Williams. Yep.
And Lawrence Phillips missed the block on that. But he went to Steve Young. Steve Young said, I can still play. And Bill said, fine, I don't think you can or should play for this organization. I think you should retire. And he said, but if you want to, I'm letting you talk to anyone you want. And he went out to Denver. I'm talking about Steve Young, went to Denver, sat down with Mike Shanahan, and Mike Shanahan said, give you the keys to the car tomorrow. You're a starter. And Steve said, great. Came back. Walsh talked to him again, and Steve said, you know what? I'm retiring. And I think you can have that conversation. Very difficult as a former quarterback. I think Walsh was more detached and could make those hard and fast decisions. With John Elway, it could be tough because he's been in that situation. But how do you tell John Elway to walk away? No one did. He knew when it was time. You probably just have to lead him to water, meaning Peyton Manning, and just kind of say, you know, this is the way it goes. But to me, if he's insistent and says, no, I want to play again, absolutely. He's your best opportunity. Let him play again. That's why they brought him in there.
Okay, do you think there will be a purge of the coaching staff in Denver?
No. I do not. No. Based on that game? No, I don't.
No, the season. The season. I mean, Del Rio to the Raiders, Gase to the 49ers.
I thought you meant driving them out. I mean, I think Del Rio's case got hurt yesterday, but I've seen that before. I thought this would, in the past, I said, well, somebody wasn't going to get hired based on this game. Well, no, they got hired. But I thought Del Rio got hurt yesterday. Adam Gase, I really don't, I'll be honest with you, understand the attraction with Adam Gase. I mean, who's the offensive coordinator in Denver? Peyton Manning. it's not Adam Gase, but we'll see. I think Del Rio to the Raiders had legs before yesterday. Probably still does. I mean, if the Raiders had a conviction about him, but Gase, I think, would be back. I as I said, Del Rio to me is, I'm not sure what makes him so attractive to Oakland, but they were high on him. You know, he did an okay job in Jacksonville. But I'd have to sit down and hear what he had to say. I thought he heard his case yesterday and answered your question. No, I don't think there'll be a purge of that coaching staff.
Okay, before I let you go, then, Dick LeBeau leaves the Steelers, just quits. Oh. Done. Yeah. Todd Bowles is going to take the job in Atlanta or somewhere. I hope it's not Chicago. But Dick LeBeau coming here to the Cardinals staff, connection to Arians, they need a D coordinator. What do you think?
And golf courses. I could see it happening. I'd love to see it happen. Wouldn't that be something? Bruce Arians got driven out by Mike Tomlin of the Steelers. Now Dick LeBeau driven out by Mike Tomlin of the Steelers. Boy, I never saw this coming up. We had Dick on our show this year, and he did a terrific job, I thought, with some limited resources. Yet, you know, he's gone, and I could see it happening. And I don't know that there are many, Todd Bowles is one, but many D coordinators that I'd rather have than Dick LeBeau. He can make magic happen. And that combination, Arians and LeBeau, I'd love to see it happen.
Yeah, and Tom Moore, I mean, they'd have an AARP meeting at Denny's to figure out the game plan.
Yeah, have a reunion on the 19th hole.
That's it. Before I let you go, what are your plans for out here?
We're going to be doing some live radio with Yahoo Sports Radio Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 2 hours each on the national radio show.
Okay.
Then we're obviously doing Hall of Fame voting, but we'll be over seeing you, actually, at sometimes in the studios there, and then cutting a live show Saturday night after the Hall of Fame, not only with Yahoo Sports Radio, but then for our own show, which to be aired on Sunday morning.
Good deal. Good job. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, Brad.
Clark Judge, Talk of Fame Network. TalkOfFameNetwork.com. He's going to be in the room when they vote on Kurt Warner and others, so there's a lot there, along with Ron Borges and Rick Gosling with the Dallas Morning News. Those three guys do a terrific show. If you're looking for content around the NFL, you're not going to get much better than that. TalkOfFameNetwork.com. Peter King will be with us on tomorrow's show. Peter joins us every week from the MMQB. I'm Brad Sussmat. On the other side, news and notes around the state of Arizona and nationally from Paula Bovin's view. My conversation with my friend from AZ Central Sports, Paula Bovin, and then Todd Graham. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central Sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussmat.
News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist Paula Bovin, my friend for a couple of minutes. I want to ask you about names like Dean Blandino for the whole segment, right?
Oh, perfect. Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
That's what every sports fan across the country, that's who they want to hear about today. They don't want to hear about the cowboy and the catch, or wasn't the catch, or Peyton Manning. They want to hear Dean Blandino. Of course they do. What do you make out of the vice president of officiating for the second week in a row on a Monday being like the main person that people want to hear from? And I've got some stuff with him, Paula, but seriously, you cover the NFL. What do you make out of this?
Well, it's really frustrating, and I've not been as, you know, up in arms about officiating as everybody else until yesterday, because I find it so annoying that part of this discussion involves words like it was a football play, or what was Jason Garrett kept saying something about, you know, a move common to the game. What does that mean? I don't, you know, experts, I think, in football are still confused about this. So I don't blame the officials. I think I blame more the rule committee. I mean, there's got to be some clarity on these kinds of things, and I think it's really, really obnoxious.
Okay, storyline you like the most from this weekend? What caught your eye the most that you liked?
That I liked?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, Peyton's easy. Peyton's low-hanging fruit, and that's not one that you would like.
Right.
That's low-hanging fruit. I mean, you watch somebody, and you're like, wow, Rob Gronkowski did this, or Cam Chancellor did that, or there's so many different stories.
You know what it is for me?
Yeah.
It is Seattle and where they were at the beginning of the season, and some of those ridiculous comments about Russell Wilson, you know, not being black enough, and this, you know, lack of harmony in the locker room, and the way that storyline of Seattle and what they became after how they started. I think they defied so much. They defied history of, you know, teams maybe not being able to be as good after the Super Bowl and possibly repeat. You know, I think it says a lot about Pete Carroll and how he was sort of able to maintain, you know, the sort of harmony. And Russell Wilson, I mean, I think he dealt with a lot of stuff. I think he handled it really professionally. And I think people like to make fun of him sometimes because he's, you know, he's on TV all the time, or he's too robotic, or, you know, his personality doesn't always come through. I think that storyline is great.
Did you see or hear Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth sweep Ray Rice under the rug by showing this static shot of Roger Goodell out in the crowd? And Michaels was reading a statement about the great, if you haven't seen it, it's all over YouTube. As I was watching, I wanted to puke on my shoes.
Well,
there's no other way I want to put it. It was just like, you've got to be bleeping kidding me that it's come to this, just to sweep this all away because you have a network TV partner to give these guys a platform. It was embarrassing.
It was. And what I did hear was Collinsworth, who is one of my favorite people on TV, say something the effect of, you know, Goodell and his integrity or whatever. I'm like, come on, after all that, that's not the way to address this whole situation. I was really disappointed in that because I respect the TV announcers and I pay a lot of attention to them, and there's a lot of them that annoy me too, but those guys are the best. And so that bummed me out to hear that.
That had to be forced down their throats.
Yeah, of course.
That was somebody above them saying, you have to read this and we're going to place it in the game where it won't be over the top. And on Monday, everybody's going to talk about Dean stinking Blandino.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought that was embarrassing.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you.
All right, Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. Who do you like tonight? Oregon, Ohio State. Who do you like?
I like Oregon by a lot. I just, you know, I've had the chance to see them play quite a bit, watched them on TV. I just think that tempo that they run over every other thing we'll talk about in this game, that is really, really hard to defend. And they're on the mark right now with that. And I think they're going to win by maybe 14.
Marcus Mariota comes across as somebody that is invincible, for lack of a better term.
Right.
You know, he has a calmness about him, and I don't know if that's from his heritage. I don't know.
Right.
But as the Heisman Trophy winner, I don't see where Ohio State. Joey Bosa is really good, Paula, and
mm-hmm.
I think tempo. You mentioned tempo earlier, and that's right on your mark. That the tempo of Oregon, if there's cranking plays out 12 and 13 seconds apart, and Ohio State cannot substitute in as good as Bosa is, I think they get run over too.
Well, and I was, you know, you mentioned Mariota. I was just looking at some stats. I think his last four games, he's completed like 72, 75% of his passes. They're just in sync right now. They're on the mark. Now they've got these, you know, and it took them a while to sort of develop their running game a bit. But, you know, you've got Royce Freeman. You've got sophomore Tyner, I think his name is. They're just in full sync mode right now. And I just think that's going to be too tough for Ohio State to defend.
Okay, college basketball end. I watched U of A lose last night at Oregon State. I saw ASU drop both of their games over the weekend. We've gone through the Herb Sendek, is he in trouble or not, mm-hmm. over and over and over. I mean, obviously what's going on here isn't good. They're near the bottom of the conference. They have more turnovers than they have shots made at this point of the season by 20. I mean, the numbers are just ridiculous on the negative side. That said, at home, Utah ranked in the top 10, Colorado really good. Ray Anderson's probably going to be sitting in the stands. Is this a crucial weekend for Herb Sendek?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I know that they're going to also sort of judge him by the progress they've made during the course of the season, blah, blah, blah. But you've got to show some kind of bounce back after that weekend. And I know Herb Sendek was talking about that he thought they actually played well against Oregon. Bottom line, look at Oregon State, how horrible they were last year to what they are this year. A lot of the same players. It's really about a head coach. Oregon State is all about the head coach right now. And so you know that Ray Anderson is sitting there seeing what's happened in the Pacific Northwest and is looking at his situation, and definitely a big weekend. And the other interesting part is there's going to be some big-name coaches, I think, available after this season, Brad. There's some high-profile guys whose names are being tossed around, so that may just add to the whole intrigue. But, yeah, this weekend is huge.
And I've already had some boosters. I saw some the other night. I was at the Corona-Hamilton game, and I wanted to see Corona again and that whole show. And a couple boosters came over, and they're asking, what do you think about this guy and what do you think about that guy? And it's like, guys, I don't know.
Right.
But these are guys that can write the check to make it all happen. That's my point, is the natives are restless for sure. Before I let you go, Cleveland is here tomorrow night. We don't know if LeBron is going to play or not. They work out later today over at GCU.
Right.
I wrote this morning that Sean Marion should go into the Ring of Honor whenever his career is done. He's with the Cavaliers now. Would you agree or disagree with that?
That's a great – you know, I hadn't thought about Sean, honestly, for that. I think it's – from what I've seen of him, at least when he played here, how long his career has gone, what he brought to that team, the athleticism, the excitement, and – you know, obviously such a valuable part of when they were successful. I would have no problem with it. I know that the problem with things like the Ring of Honor is you have to make it highly selective, because you don't want, you know, pretty soon you're going to be double lapping around the arena there. But I would have no problem with Sean Marion put in, because I've just always respected the game and what he gave to it.
I felt like he was one of the more underappreciated guys when he was here. It doesn't mean they disrespected him. I just think it was taken for granted that you were going to get an 18-10, 18-8 out of him every night. And he wasn't the most outgoing, gregarious guy. Yeah. He had a great sense of humor once you broke through the walls. But he didn't work the media over in a way that, you know, a Nash did or some of the other players.
No, and in fact was poked fun in the media quite a bit. I mean, I think of all the replays of that Jim Rome interview. And I don't know if you remember it, but it
sure
was
I do.
Sean sounded kind of sleepy and you know what I'm saying and that kind of stuff. When in reality, when you spoke with him in person, he was a bright guy. You're right. He didn't go out there and try to sell himself. And I think sometimes behind the scenes, he got picked on a little bit because he, you know, he wanted the ball more and people talked about that stuff. But when I've talked to guys like, you know, Steve Nash and people who played with him back in the past, I'm very respectful for the game and what he contributed.
Yeah, I mean, tomorrow night he'll be introduced and there'll be a nice little round of applause, but this could be the last go around to see Sean Marion in an NBA uniform. I think a really good story over there.
Definitely.
Tiger, where are you going to, how are you going to handle Tiger?
Well, you know, I think I'm going to be mostly on Super Bowl coverage. So I don't know if I'm going to be out at the golf tournament this year, but if I get there, and I hope to, I can't wait to just sit at the 16th hole when he comes. I think it's a great story. I know he's still recovering from health issues. Maybe his game has abandoned him. I still am that fan who thinks when he steps on the course, something spectacular can happen, whether it's one, you know, a hole-in-one at 16 again, if it's, you know, some other great shot or a great round. I still think he has a little bit of that in him, and I'm excited he's coming to the tournament.
No, I think Wednesday, Thursday, the Open, the Super Bowl is going to take care of itself.
Right.
But Wednesday and Thursday, in terms of an event, if he's in the Pro-Am, I don't know that.
Right.
That's a game changer.
Right.
And I hear the Pro-Am's going to have every big name you could imagine in the NFL, Hall of Famers, that want in. As their teams are eliminated, that they're getting the door beat down, that they're turning away some A-list guys to get into that. But you know, I think that Tiger is going to hear some things. That's what I'm going to be interested to see, is how does he react? Because nobody's going to be completely quiet following him around. He's going to have 15,000. I'm not exaggerating. He's going to have 15,000 people on the third hole over by the Princess. It's
right.
Going to be beyond ridiculous.
It is. It is. And, you know, there may be a few. There's always a few. But I really believe that the fans here are going to embrace him. I think they're going to be excited. And as long as he sort of plays along, and we've talked about this, Brad, I think if he plays along with this crowd, acknowledges them, certainly
right.
at 16, does something, I think it's going to be fine.
Stay well. Appreciate the time.
Okay.
It's Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. This segment brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Yesterday, I was driving back down from Pine Top. I spent the weekend up there, took my wife and my 10-year-old and took his little dog along, and we went sledding and screwed around, and he played Yahtzee, and, you know, I mean, just stuff you do as a family to get away. And I sat and watched football for the most part along with him. We had a great time, and I'm driving back down through Payson yesterday, And I'm in the Explorer, the certified pre-owned Explorer that we purchased from Santan Ford. It was a great ride, and I was thinking as I was cruising along listening to Sirius and having some tunes on, I was like, this is a good ride. I really like these people at Santan Ford. They did well by us for this vehicle. This has been a good addition to the Sesmat household. Yeah, you can say, oh, come on, Brad, you're talking about them. They partner with you. No, it comes down to the experience. It comes down to actually driving the vehicle. Have you gotten up in the morning, gotten in your vehicle, and started to drive out of the driveway saying, why am I in this? I don't like this. I'm not comfortable in it, whatever it may be. Then get out of it. Swing over to Santan Ford. See General Manager Tim Hovick. They're involved corporately with the Diamondbacks. They're involved corporately with Arizona State, with the Arizona Cardinals. They're invested into the success of the sports teams in the Valley. Yeah, and they're involved with me too. So why wouldn't you want to be involved with someone who's that ingrained within the sporting community? Of course you do. General Manager Tim Hovick and company, they do it right. Stop in, say hi to Tim. Find that next vehicle, new or used. That's at Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Todd Graham is next, Arizona State Sun Devil head football coach. Who does he like to win tonight's national title game, Oregon and Ohio State? There's some recruiting stuff I'm going to talk to him about, too. And what are the NFL people saying about Jalen Strong's draft status and Taylor Kelly's draft status? I'm going to talk to Todd about all things ASU. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Counting down to tonight's national title game, Brad Sussmat with you. We bring you lots of different voices, opinions. What a great day in college football. And tomorrow the debate will rage, not just on the winner, but if they should expand the field. Todd Graham, head football coach, Arizona State, the Sun Devils. He joins me for a couple of minutes. Busy time for him on the recruiting trail. Appreciate the time. Todd, what do you make out of tonight's matchup? Just big, wide view, Oregon, Ohio State.
Well, one, you know, it's two really good football teams. Obviously, one team that has a great defense, the other one has a prolific offense, and obviously, you know, Marcus Mariota is the best player in the country. So it's just going to be a dynamic matchup and a tremendous game.
The tempo of Oregon, Todd. Can you talk about what Ohio State's going to face tonight and that quick offense wearing down, or at least trying to wear down, the Buckeye defense?
Well, I think the key for them, really, you know, when you look at stopping Oregon's offense, is what you do on your offense. And so, what they're going to do, Ohio State's going to try to do is try to run the ball, control the time of possession, and try to keep Oregon's offense off the field. I mean, the key is going to be how many snaps they play. If you play more than 75, 80 snaps, you're in trouble against Oregon.
The Ducks without their wide receivers, Carrington and Devin Allen, how big of a setback is that for Oregon, do you think, Todd?
Well, you know, you didn't get there because of one or two guys, but, they're obviously the key to what makes them work is their quarterback, but that doesn't help at all. That's something that's difficult. And you're getting these championship games, you know, my opinion on them is it really boils down in these games to, the team that plays the best defense. And so, those guys being out will not help Oregon. But the key is how well Ohio State can run the ball and how well their defense plays.
Todd Graham with Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes tonight. Oregon, Ohio State, 6:30, the kickoff. He joins us here, Sports 360 AZ, and we partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Do you like the way that this has played out this year, Todd, with this playoff for the first time around?
I think it's great. I don't think, college football is stronger than it's ever been. I love the fact that we're playing it on the field. Obviously, I'm a component to expanding it to 8 games. If you look at this year, and you could have had 8 teams instead of 4, you look at all the excitement. And, I think it's neat. I think it's special. It's a special time in college football. I think it's been a huge success having the playoff. But you'd like to have seen obviously TCU left out of it. My big deal is for the conference champion. There's such disparity in how people schedule non-conference games, and that shouldn't come into play. Every, all the major conferences, the 5 conference champions should be in the playoff. And so I'm hoping they expand it even more, but I think it's been a huge success.
Here in January, you're out on the recruiting trail quite a bit. Do recruits ask you about this playoff and what they can do at ASU?
Yeah, I think obviously, every recruit that we're bringing in, they're coming here to win a national championship and win a Pac-12 championship. You know, we've competed every year that we've been here, and we've gotten better and better and better. We're coming off, 28 wins in 3 years, and you know, what we do offensively and defensively is very unique and very dynamic. And, you know, it's getting the right kids and recruiting. It's the ones that fit you and fit our character, smart, disciplined, tough, you know, value system. And we're putting together the best recruiting class. You know, right now, you know, if we can finish strong, we're going to put together the best recruiting class in the history of the school. So for Sun Devil Nation, it's going to be exciting. This will, no doubt in my mind, be the best football team we put on the field next fall.
Coach, when Oregon has success and yet you're recruiting against them, but tonight, does it help your cause in a living room if a Pac-12 team wins tonight?
Oh, I mean, you know, I'm just going to be honest with you, not really. I mean, sure. You know, I think it helps that, you know, yeah, I think our conference is pretty strong. I think anybody in the country right now would look and say from top to bottom, the Pac-12 conference is this last year, I think, proven to be the best in the country. You look at, you know, even in our bowl game, you know, you take Duke. You know, Duke beat Georgia Tech, who just, you know, blew, you know, Michigan State off the field. So, you know, you look at the record of our conference and, the respect that our conference has, the amount of guys that we're developing and putting at the next level, and then how we're competing and playing on the field. That's what I'm excited about, is that this isn't, you know, in the years past, it was all speculation. Now we're getting to play it on the field. I hope we'll expand that and be able to play more of those games on the field. I think that's something I'm hoping in the near future they'll go with an 8-18 playoff, because, you know, you look at the disparity in how many conference games people play, and some people don't play a championship game, which wind up hurting the Big 12, you know, this year.
Sure.
By not doing that. So, but no, I think the Pac-12 conference is strong. You know, our deal, we had a team meeting last night and talked to our players. I want every one of those guys watching that game and visualizing and dreaming and going to work to put us in that game. That's what we want to be doing this time next year.
Who do you like tonight to win it?
Do what?
Who do you like tonight to win the game, Todd?
Obviously it's hard to bet against Marcus Mariota. You know, he's just such an incredible, he's the best player in college football. But in these championship games, if you ask me to, you know, I always pick the team that plays has the best defense. And obviously, you know, Coach Meyer's a tremendous coach. I know Coach Meyer a little bit better than I know Mark. Both of them do a great job. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's going to be a heck of a game. But, you know, I always side on the side of the team that plays the best defense.
Head Coach Todd Graham, Arizona State Sun Devils, with Brad Sussmat. Couple questions, I'll let you go. Appreciate your time. I know you're about ready to catch a flight. Jalen Strong, what are you hearing about his draft position at this point?
Well, I think Jalen is a first-round draft pick. You know, it'll be how, you know, all that, you know, how that between now and then, and how, you know, what, how he runs and all his workouts and all that stuff. But, you know, he's a guy that's going to be a dynamic player and a great NFL player. So, you know, I would see him being a, you know, a late first-round pick.
As it stands right now, how many of your players off this year's team do you think will be drafted?
We'll probably have, you know, four or five guys. I mean, I think we, you know, I feel pretty confident in that. And, you know, every year we've had more and more and more guys drafted, and then obviously guys drafted higher and higher. And I think it's just as our programs move forward, and, you know, we're coming off back-to-back 10-win seasons, guys like Marcus Hardison, Jamil Douglas are guys that, you know, I feel pretty certain that are going to get drafted. And Demarius Randall, you know, I feel pretty confident that those guys are all going to get drafted, with Jalen being obviously a guy that, you know, should go in the first round. So, you know, and there, we've got a lot of other guys that you know, have tremendous potential. I feel pretty confident to say we'd have four guys that are pretty good chance or highly likely to be drafted.
What are you hearing about Taylor Kelly and his draft status, Todd? Is he one of those guys?
Yeah, I think Taylor's a guy that is the fifth guy on that list that I would tell you that I think, you know, will get drafted, because it's just his record and what he's done and just how he operates. And you know, he's just a winner. He's a leader in every way. So, you know, he's a guy that I, you know, would probably be a late rounder. But, again, depend on his workouts and all that. You know, obviously, I think the world of him. And if I was an NFL team, I'd sure take a shot at him.
I know you're hitting the recruiting trail once again, letter of intent day less than a month away. Can you comment on any of your JUCO guys that have already enrolled, or any part of this class that's already enrolled at ASU?
Yeah, we're excited. You know, we've got, I think, you know, six guys that are coming in early, you know, here at semester. And I don't know which ones have been cleared or not, so I won't talk specifically about any of them. But because they've got to be enrolled and all that stuff.
Sure.
And start class. So But, you know, we're excited. This is, you know, a class that is obviously the highest ranked class we've ever had. Last year was the, set the pace for that group. It was the highest ranked class we've had, I think, over 20-something years. So this class will be even better. And, I love that room. I love our team. I love the recruits we've got coming in, and we're building this thing the right way. It's on young men with great character. We have a great brotherhood and guys that are close, and the leadership is what I'm excited about. Mike Berkovici and crew are going to be tremendous leaders. This is going to be the best group that we've had.
Appreciate your time and insight as always, Todd. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Go Devils.
It's Todd Graham with us for a couple of minutes. Always good to catch up with the coach. Todd Graham, ASU, on the recruiting trail. Letter of intent day, by the way, less than a month away. And I bring that up because on sports360az.com, we do a ton of stuff on the high school level. It's not like this kid's going here and this kid's going there. We do that with our recruiting roundup, and it's terrific. Rock and Refuel is a partner with us in that. And there's great content on that front. But we do more than just that. We go behind the scenes with these kids and what they're all about. And on Letter of Intent Day, we'll have people at U of A, we'll have people at ASU. We'll do all sorts of stuff on first week of February on that Wednesday. So appreciate the coach's time. The segment of the show brought to you by Mareel Slater Insurance. I saw Tom Mareel the other night out at the Hamilton against Corona basketball game, and John Slater as well. What I like about Mareel Slater is a bunch of things. If you're looking for your health insurance, guys, health insurance, you may have thought December 15th, that was it. No, no, you can enroll up till February 15th. Tom and John and Lori Brodzinski, they get it done for you. They've done it for me. Insurance, especially health insurance, it's a real specific need for everybody. It's not something you want to mess around with. And with the cost of it in particular, you may be in a situation where you haven't been able to enroll, or you're in a spot between now and February 15th where you can get the job done with Mareel Slater Insurance. I'm going to give you a website to go to here in a minute. And you'll get in contact with Lori Brodzinski and the people over at Mareel Slater. And that's msinsurancellc.com. msinsurancellc.com. Mareel Slater Insurance, they can help you out. msinsurancellc.com, along with Blue Cross and Blue Shield. Great people. They help me out personally and also with sports360az.com. That's Mareel Slater Insurance, msinsurancellc.com. Brock Huard is next, ESPN college football analyst. We'll talk with Brock about tonight's matchup. Who does he like? Also, Brock does his daily show up in Seattle. More on the Seahawks getting ready for Green Bay. That's next. I'm Brad Sesmat, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. You can check out our content at sports360az.com. Off we go into hour number two, sports360az.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Into year number three, Brad Sesmat with you. Our content at sports360az, you can check it out there. Some of the hot headlines before we get to our next guest on this national title game day. Brought to you by Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport, where it's just plain easy. You know, you can fly to a lot of different places, but at Gateway, you can do so and save a ton of dough. About $50 out of Gateway on Allegiant Air into Las Vegas. You can do that right around March Madness in the Pac-12 tournament when we're up there. I flew into Bellingham, Washington a couple of months back for less than $60 out of Gateway on Allegiant Air. You can get up to Telluride and do ski season right now. That's on Gateway Airport, Gateway Airport, where it's just plain easy. Appreciate the partnership with Gateway Airport. Hot headlines, national title game tonight, Oregon, Ohio State. That is the big story there. Todd Bowles, second interview with the Jets and Falcons. Go to Atlanta, young man. Go to Atlanta. Dick LeBeau quits on the Steelers. How about Dick LeBeau coming to Arizona? The geriatric ward would have a great time with Bruce Arians and Tom Moore and Dick LeBeau to replace Todd Bowles when Bowles leaves. I'd like to see that happen. On the NBA side, LeBron James scheduled to work out later today with the Cavaliers over Grand Canyon University. Cleveland is here tomorrow night to take on the Suns. Thought the Suns were just putrid internally last night. Their inside game was just awful. Marc Gasol dominated them. Some of the areas going on in my mind in the world of sports brought to you by Gateway Airport. And, of course, Tiger Woods coming to Phoenix, where everybody is geeked up, including our next guest, Brock Huard, ESPN college football analyst. We just keep rolling voices out today on the national title game tonight. Do you think you're going to be here in a couple of weeks with the Seahawks, by the way? Do you think you're coming here?
I sure hope so. We're 60 minutes to Glendale. That's a conversation we started again this morning, just like we did last year. This same time of year, it was 60 minutes to New York, New Jersey, and we're 60 minutes to Glendale. And 25-2 in 27 games as Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll as a tandem in that stadium. One-dimensional teams they've often feasted upon, no matter how talented that one-dimensional team is. So I sure hope so. And I understand that if the Seahawks do get down there, not only will we be on Radio Row doing our show, you're going to get me a guest caddy for Tiger Woods. That's the news I was just told. You're going to get me inside the ropes to caddy for Tiger, huh?
So here's the thing. Okay, I like you a great deal. Otherwise, I wouldn't have you on this show because you're very, very good at what you do. You are the rising star, as I termed you three years ago.
Stop.
So look, you're going to be here expecting Super Bowl. I will tell you that when Tiger committed, that was the Super Bowl down here. Most Valley residents, now the Cardinals aren't into it, outside of the Seahawks fans or other Packer fans, they're going to rent their houses out because the demand to go see Tiger and Phil and see Tiger at 16. You ever been to 16, Brock? Have you heard about 16?
That's a little par three, right? That's like CenturyLink Field, the north end zone at CenturyLink Field where everyone's just going nuts.
Everybody's hammered. I mean, they're puking on their shoes. And they're
like CenturyLink Field.
It's the lowest common denominator. It's beyond Thunderdome, Mad Max. Come on, whatever term you want to use. No, in all seriousness. The players that embrace 16 encourage you to yell at them in their backswing and boo you. You okay? And Ricky Fowler will throw hats into the crowd. Guys will come up and do crazy stuff that you never see at a golf tournament. And they'll pack in 500,000 fans for that golf event. It's the only thing. Wow. When Tiger announced, in seriousness, Brock, when Tiger announced that he's coming, it supersedes the Super Bowl here locally. It does. And
don't tell me that. Don't tell me that, okay? Because my co-host already has enough fuel for the Arizona people fan base. Geez. He already thinks so little of them. I don't want to hear that, okay? I really, really don't want. I'm going to pretend like I didn't hear that. That a golf event's going to be bigger than Super Bowl Sunday?
Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson walking down 16 will have every local person here. Now, the tournament ends at 3. They'll all race home. But if you could get a pass to get into 16 versus getting in the top row to watch the Super Bowl, there would be people that would take the pass to 16 because the alcohol is all free.
Wow.
The alcohol is free, though.
Wow.
Man. Just so you know.
Wow. Okay.
So are you hitting me up for a free pass before I get into this game? Is that what's going on here? Are you wanting to go to the Open?
No. I just want to hang out with you in person. You're one of the rare radio people that tower over me. It doesn't happen very much.
As long as you say most tower.
Most of them are good size, but not in the vertical realm, right?
That is so true. We're a bunch of pig troughs, man. Free food, we're there. All right. So we've been hearing a lot of voices on tonight's game, and I really appreciate you coming on because we wanted your insight on tonight's game. Is this going to be a game at all, or is this a track meet where Oregon runs away and hides?
I would vote for the latter. I think it's going to be a track meet. I don't know if Oregon runs away and hides, though. I think there's going to be some points scored. And I'll tell you, if Oregon was fully loaded, and I don't know how many other voices have said the same thing, so if it's redundant, I apologize. But if Ifo Ekwueolomu was playing and Carrington was playing and they were fully loaded going into this game, I think I would feel much more comfortable of where the folks down in Vegas think this is going to be. But without some of those key contributors, and obviously a coach says next man up, and a locker room says next man up, and their fan base says next man up, and that's the way you play your system. But you're talking about some pretty special difference-making athletes that are now off the field against an Ohio State team that I think more than anywhere else, if you were to frame a team that gives Marcus Mariota and Oregon some issues, you want to build a team with defensive linemen and defensive tackles and defensive ends that win. And not just shed a block, but win and penetrate and make game-changing plays. And that's what Ohio State has defensively. And that's why I'm probably going to lean to them in the fourth quarter in what should hopefully be a wonderful game that we're all talking about tomorrow.
Okay, you deal with coaches all over the country on your college football run with ESPN. Is there a distinct or any advantage at all of Urban Meyer over Mark Helfrich, from your humble opinion?
Yes. Yeah, I think there is. And in talking to Tim Tebow in the build-up to our Peach Bowl game, he was one of the rare people that was saying, hey, everyone thinks Alabama's going to run away with this thing. He had experienced winning a couple championships with Urban Meyer. And in his opinion, nobody motivates better behind the scenes and building an edge and kind of building up to that moment than what he got to experience from Urban. And I think obviously his record speaks for that and what he's done in big games and in big moments. And, you know, up here in Seattle, Brad, we talk an awful lot about Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll and their primetime record. And when the stage gets bigger, when the lights get brighter, those guys play better. And the same is very much, and I think has to be said for Urban in his career, no matter where he's been, no matter what his personnel looks like and the different forms they have to take on, man, his guys play their best in the biggest moments. And Mark Helfrich just does not have that resume. He has a chance tonight and would be a pretty good feather in his cap and the biggest feather in the history of that program to win a national title. But Urban's done it. Yeah, I think that does play a role.
Okay, and I remember talking with you at the start of the season, and we were talking about Helfrich, and you thought it would be an interesting season to see if the pressure built on him based on what happened at the end of last year. Are you surprised he has this team there?
I am. And that pressure, by the way, really built up. And when they lost to Arizona, legitimately, I've got some friends in the Portland ESPN market and was talking to them on the radio show weekly, and there was legitimate conversations and phone calls that you got to blow this thing up. It just is not working. That this system will score a lot of points and you win a lot of games, but you just can't win a championship doing it the way they've done it. And there was an immense amount of pressure midseason. Mm-hmm. And for him and Marcus to really go the Aaron Rodgers route, and I think told everybody to R-E-L-A-X, and you put the ball in your difference maker's hand, and Marcus winning a Heisman for the first time, putting them really on this stage for the first time, an immense amount of credit goes to head coach. I think Scott Frost is their coordinator, is an incredibly calming and confident part of this puzzle as well. And then Mariota is just different. I mean, he's just different than the rest. I think he should be the number one pick next year, and I think he can go a long ways to just quieting any of those last doubters along those lines of the win tonight.
So if the Seahawks win, you're going to come down here and you're going to sit over at Radio Row and interview all these guys that are pushing like Simple Green and...
No, we don't do that. We don't do that. Well, no.
How many times do I have to push peanuts or, you know, Skittles like Kurt Warner's pushing? You're not going to do any of those.
No.
None
we
of
don't.
Them.
We not really, man. We did a couple last year, and each time we kind of went, you know,
painful, isn't it? It's just dreadful.
Yeah, you know, we did like a brain bar, and we did something else. And it just wasn't. I will tell you though, tough acting to act, and Jim Burt was pretty dang funny last year, and he was one of my favorite guests. Every once in a while, you'll just kind of run into those, so you got to take a little risk.
Oh man!
And every once in a while, you could run into a brilliant one. But no, we'll be talking to the Brad Sesmats of the world.
We'll be talking to
the hardcore football people of the world, getting ready for hopefully another Super Bowl run. And man, I'll tell you, you know this, and you've done sports radio for a while, and I don't know if you've had the good fortune of what we've gotten to really experience here over the last 24 months. And that's having a championship team that's now put themselves in a position to win another championship and really, Brad, doing it the right way. I mean, with a head coach and a quarterback and a community that is so bought into this thing, that is so invested.
Right.
The ratings came out, it was 80%. It was a 53 or 56 share in Seattle with 80% of TV households plugged in. I mean, it's off the charts. Better than anywhere, and there's no better time to be doing local radio and doing what we're doing and having a team to follow like we do up here right now.
Well, after hearing the Russell Wilson not black enough and all that stuff months ago, to see where we are now, I mean, the noise around September and October to pass time to where you are now, it's pretty amazing, isn't it?
3-3. They were 3-3, and they were going to be yet another statistic, another one of these Super Bowl teams that just goes by the wayside. And you paid too many guys left, too many egos, and instead they all looked at each other. And that's why, quite honestly, I don't know if there's the same desperation in the fan base. I mean, I think it's close. Now you're talking about, you know, some really epic stuff and repeating when others can't. But from a fan perspective, last year satisfied so much of the starvation for a championship. But internally, I argued this last week, and I really believe it. I think internally within those walls, this would mean more. Because of what they overcame, because sitting there at 3-3 and at 6-4 and on the brink and everything they had to do behind the scenes to really buy in, to really care selflessly for the guy next to him, I think it would mean more to that locker room this year than even last year's did.
Before you get out of here, you ever seen Tiger in person play?
I have never seen him in person.
All right. You're not, do you want to go and see him? Are you, do you think you're going to be busy? Are you going to be one of these guys that goes all the functions and all that stuff? All the stuff.
We'll
you
be,
know, come on.
You know, we'll be a little bit. No, we'll be busy. But like I said, I want to see a lean, mean, good-looking radio machine like yourself. All and then right. a chance to see Tiger's what? Not as big in person? Is that what you're going to tell me?
No. Come with me Thursday. Tell you. And okay. You just come. Don't bring Salk, but just you. You know?
Okay.
Just bring you. I mean, if you
well,
want to bring Salk, it's
Salk.
Fine.
We got to get a. We already have a security detail for Salk down in Arizona. Yeah, I mean he's not able to leave his room after everything you said about the Cardinal fan base. So
that's fine.
He's going to have a tough time if that happens. But yeah,
the Cardinal fan base.
Brad, let's do it.
By the way, the Cardinal fan base is dispersed down here. It's what is next. Okay, they don't care until it gets around draft time. That's just how it is. So and we're fine
Perfect.
With that. I'm not bashing
well,
anybody.
Hopefully,
it's just
we
a
can
fact.
Do this. Right. Hopefully we can do this. All we right. got 60 more minutes to play, and then we'll work out all these details.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, win or lose, get down here. I'll see you then.
Is your boy George Clooney going to be there, and all those Hollywood stars
Shut
that
up.
To
get
hang out with
here.
There? They'll
get out
hang
of
with
here.
You. All right.
I've heard enough of you, you nitwit.
Bye.
Brock here for a couple of minutes. So, why do we book him when he starts busting my chops about the Clooney interview?
So I had George Clooney
on the show. There's nothing wrong with having George Clooney on a show.
That's a you thing. That's not really a me thing. That's a you thing.